Good morning. Good to see everyone this morning. We are in John, the 10th chapter, and we're going to read three verses here, starting in verse 22, going through verse 24. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. And he came, then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Let us go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come before you, Lord, we're just so thankful for today and thankful for all the blessings you have given us. And Lord, the opportunity to gather together and to fellowship and to worship together. Just ask as we consider your word, Lord, you open our hearts and minds that we may truly see Jesus as he is, and Lord, that we live our lives for him. And if anyone here do not know him as their Savior, Lord, they'll come to know Jesus and have a relationship with you. Lord, we're so thankful for all you've done for us. Forgive me of the sins I've committed against thee. Ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my message is Hanukkah. And I'll explain why I'm call it Hanukkah, but Jesus is the light of the world. Hanukkah is the feast of dedication, and we find that it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication. It was winter. Now we know what this is. Jews today celebrate this feast. It is Hanukkah. It is the feast of dedication. If you look at other modern translations, I don't normally do that, but this just happens to be a Jewish translation, and it says, it interprets the feast of dedication, what that actual name is, that it is Hanukkah, and it is winter. Now, we know Israel had three main feasts that was given to them by God through Moses there on Mount Sinai. And those three main feasts are the Passover, which happens in the spring. And then we know Pentecost, which happens in the summer. And then the Feast of Tabernacles. And all males above the age of 12 were together at Jerusalem to celebrate these three feasts. And there are other feasts that go along with those. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, is in the fall, and it goes with the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Unleavened Bread goes with Passover. There's seven feasts, but they all fall within these three times in which they're to come to Jerusalem. But we know that the Jews have adopted others. If you see a list, there's like 12 different feasts that they have today. But there's two others mentioned in the Bible that they implemented because of what God had done for them. One is Purim. Someone know how Purim come about? Esther, right? And so that is a feast celebrating that God sustained the Jews and saved the Jews from Haman's trickery, trying to get rid of all of the Jews. Hanukkah is a feast that it came about because of the Romans, the Greeks. Romans came and overran Israel, and they took over the temple. And after they had recaptured Jerusalem and recaptured the temple, it was rededicated. So Hanukkah is sometimes called the Feast of Dedication. It is also called the Feast of Lights. And the reason this is they only found enough oil in the temple to light the menorah, the seven, the candlestick that set as you go into the holy place, that's set on the left. And we find that they were to light that, and They were to, in the dedication, the sanctification of it, the setting it apart again for the Lord's use, they were to do that for a week. And when they count a week, they count the beginning of the day, and so it's actually 8 days is how they count that. And so the oil left or burned for 8 days, and it was going to take 8 days to make enough oil in order to burn those. And so we find that this oil lasted, and that's why it is the Festival of Lights. And we know that Jesus, it also says that Jesus walked in Solomon's porch in the temple, is walking. And then came the Jews round about him, and we assume, reading some of the other Gospels, that this is the Pharisees that are coming. And they said unto him, "How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." And we find that Jesus is going to use this celebration, this feast of dedication, this Festival of Lights, to help them understand who he is. Now, he's been telling them, right? He's been showing them who he is. John 10:36, Jesus says, "Whom the Father has sanctified." What does sanctified mean? Set apart, right? And what does dedication mean? Set apart. And so this is during the time of the Feast of Dedication, right? And Jesus says, look, what you don't understand is you're celebrating what you have set apart for the God's use. What you don't understand, God has set me apart. I'm set apart. You are celebrating, you're worshiping, you know, you're doing this. And what you don't understand is the Christ is here. The whole purpose of this, whom the Father has sanctified and has sent into the world. Thou blasphemest because I said, I am the Son of God. And he claims, obviously, he is. That's who I am, the Son of God. In John 8, this is just a couple of days before, this is the verse I was looking for, the Feast of Dedication, which is also called the Celebration of Lights, which they light these eight candles, right? And I'll explain that in just a minute. He said, I am the light of the world. He's using this celebration to show that he is the one that is dedicated, sanctified, that they should be worshiping. He is the light of the world. And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, this Feast of Dedication, they have this menorah, this candlestick, and this candlestick is different than the candlestick that is in the tabernacle, the one, or in the temple. The one that is in the temple has seven, okay, different bowls, lamps, if you will, and the menorah has eight. And the reason that it has eight is it symbolizes the 8 days that the lampstand, the menorah, shine during that time. And it was about 200 years before Christ. So Malachi is written 400 years before Christ, and then this happens in between this, if what we call the silent years of the Old Testament. And we can read this story in 1 Maccabees 4:36 through 56. It gives us the history of this. And so this menorah, the eight candles count those days that oil lasted, and they celebrate that God sustained them and sustained that. And you look at that, and how many are there? Nine, right? And I keep saying eight, and it's like, well, can't you count? But do you notice the one in the middle stands up a little taller? And the one that stands up a little taller is not always in the middle. Sometimes, depending on the menorah you see, it can be on one end. But it always stands up taller. And It's fascinating the things that the Jews do. They don't even understand that they are declaring Christ. Even in this, it's really fascinating. And we find that this center candle, they call it the Shamash, and it means servant. And they use it because the lights on the menorah are meant to be used for beauty. The Shamash, or the servant candle, the one that stands up taller, which represents the Lord, right? Which represents God. That's what they say it represents. Its job is to do all the work and light all of the other candles. Jesus says, "I am the light." Where do we get our light? We talk about this little light of mine. I don't get it because I'm good. I get it because I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, right? The source of this light that is in me. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." And if I want this light of life, right, I have to be lit, if you will. And so that candle stays lit as the other candles are lit each day. And so this is the celebration that is going on. And they're doing it because they're dedicating the temple. Now, in the temple, what is in the temple? Especially in the Holy of Holies. Ark of the Covenant, right? The Ark of the Covenant is made of wood covered with gold. It pictures Jesus Christ. The wood is his humanity, his flesh. The gold pictures his deity. And I don't understand. I can tell you, but I don't understand how God sent Jesus, right? It says, and sent, verse John 10:36, that top verse, and sent into the world. The Father has sanctified and sent into the world. I am the Son of God. You say of him who the Father has sanctified and sent. Jesus was there before in heaven, before his birth. Galatians, the fourth chapter, said, in the fullness of time, God sent his Son, made of woman. As Jesus was sitting at the right hand of God, God the Father turned to him and said, "Go." And when the angels announced, when Gabriel announced the birth of Jesus Christ, they had been with him in heaven. They were worshiping him at the on the throne at the right hand of God the Father. And so we find that this element of light and this sanctification, the Ark of the Covenant, they were dedicating this, and they had the Ark of the Covenant and made out of wood, covered in gold, which pictured Jesus' physical life here on earth. And then what was in the Ark of the Covenant? Two things, right? Manna. What does manna represent? Jesus said in John the fifth chapter, "I am the bread of life," right? If you partake of me, right? Eternal life. And then what else is in there? It's a stick. It is Aaron. Let me get this right. I say this sometimes really fast and I mess it up. It is Aaron's rod that budded, right? That it was Aaron had a stick. It was a branch and it was dead. And to prove who should be the high priest, they left him out. And the next day they came back and Aaron's had budded, had come to life, and God had picked him. So that shows Jesus is what? High priest. Not after the order of Aaron, but after the order of Melchizedek. And so they're dedicating this, and they come in, and then what's on top? The mercy seat, which is a picture. Hebrews, the 9th chapter, says that Moses made it after the pattern that God showed him in heaven. And so the mercy seat, if you read Isaiah, the 6th chapter, it looks just like that holy place with a mercy seat and the angels flying around saying, holy, holy, holy. And the high priest would come in once a year on the Day of Atonement during the Feast of Tabernacles, and he would sprinkle what on it? Blood of a lamb, right? And so that whole Ark of the Covenant, what's in it, what's on it, what it's made of, what it sets on, all pictures Jesus Christ, the coming Christ. And they said, tell us plainly if you be the Christ. And he said, look, the Father has sanctified me. You sanctified this temple so you could come in and sprinkle the blood on this physical thing that is a picture of heaven, which is a picture of me and the ultimate sacrifice. I am sanctified. You shouldn't be having this feast of dedication to Christ or to this temple, this man-made thing. Me, I am the Son of God. It's interesting how Jesus uses the things that are right there before him to teach. And one of the reasons I want to preach about Hanukkah, and you're like, that's not even a Christian holiday. We do Christmas, and Christmas probably wasn't in December, right? Nothing wrong with celebrating the birth of Christ. If the shepherds were in the field, it was probably more in the spring. But whenever it was, it doesn't matter. Celebrating Christ is okay. And the birth of Christ is a great thing. It's an incredible thing that God has done for us. But Jesus used this holiday, this feast, to witness to them. We can use this to witness, and I have done that. Ask them about the light. Ask them about the dedication. Have them read this verse. And there's some verses in Isaiah we'll get to in just a second. And so we find here that Jesus uses this to show who he is. And it's not even one of the main three feasts, and yet it's being celebrated. We talked about Purim, right? We never see Jesus celebrating Purim, but he does celebrate Hanukkah or the Feast of Dedication, and he uses it to testify of him, that God has sanctified him, dedicated him to be the Savior and to be the light of the world. And this larger candle, in the Old Testament, it's used in Isaiah. There's like four or five different places it's used in reference to Christ as light and also servant. In Isaiah 42:6, the Lord hath called thee in righteousness. This is talking about the Messiah. And will hold thy hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. Speaking of Jesus Christ, right? He says, I am the light of the world. This is a fulfillment of this very verse. One of my favorite verses, Isaiah 53:11. This Shamash is also not only the light, but it's also, it is the servant that lights all the other lights, right? I can't light myself. I need that servant. I need Jesus Christ. I need the light of the world to light me, to save me. He shall see the travail of his soul. God the Father shall see the suffering of Jesus Christ and shall be satisfied, paying the sin debt of the world. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Right? He'll light our... I can't do it. I can't justify myself. But Jesus can justify me, right? Because he has satisfied the penalty of sin. And he shall... and what does it say there? Righteous servant. And he shall bear their iniquities. So this morning, I want us to consider four things that Jesus declared about himself at the Feast of Lights the Feast of Dedication. The Jews call it more the Feast of Dedication, Orthodox Jews, but it's also called, we probably know it more of the Feast of Lights because of the menorah and the candles. So the very first thing they said, tell us plainly, are you the Christ? And Jesus answered them, and answered them, I told you. How many times do I have to tell you, and yet you do not believe me? You keep asking, you ask for a sign, I give you all these things, and it's never enough. I have told you this. So the very first thing I want to talk about, as the works I do bear witness of me. And the rest of this verse, he goes on, you don't believe me. The works I do in my Father's name, they bear me witness. You know, how many people can do the things that he has done? He has healed people. He's brought people back to life. More importantly, he has saved people, right? And all these things, they bear record of me, that I am of my Father, that I am the Christ, and yet you continue to not believe. John 5:36, but I have a greater witness than that of John. What did John say? To witness Jesus Christ. Behold the Lamb of God, right? But there is even a greater witness. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear me witness. Witness of what? That he is the Christ, that he is the Messiah, he is the one that God had promised in the Old Testament that would come. For the Father hath sent me. He said he would send the Messiah, the Christ. And these works bear witness. There's Isaiah, I want to say 66. I don't think I have it right. But Jesus went to the temple in Nazareth, and he stood up and he read from the book of Isaiah, and he read about the healings, and the brokenhearted will be healed, and Isaiah lists all these things that are going to happen, and he says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. I am the Christ. I am the one that God has promised would come. John 20, talking about these wonders, John says this at the end of his book, his gospel. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Didn't write everything. In chapter 21, he says, if everything was written about that Jesus did, the books of the world couldn't contain all that Jesus, the Son of God, is and that he done. But these are written that ye might believe Jesus is the Christ. And Jesus says, look, my works bear witness. I am the Christ, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. The second thing that I want to touch on and consider that Jesus declared about himself at the feast, Feast of Lights or Feast of Dedication, is that Jesus is the only source of eternal life. And how we get it is through accepting him as our personal Savior. And I give unto them eternal life. Right? That's what I give. Nobody else. There's no other way to have a relationship, to have forgiveness of sin, to change your destiny from hell to heaven, to be forever in the presence of the Lord. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And he goes on and he uses the Old Testament, Moses, as an example of this. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And you think, well, that's a weird example, the serpent being lifted up. the story was that the events was that because of Israel's sin, God sent venomous snakes to bite them, and as it bit them, they were all dying, right? And so Moses was to make a brazen serpent out of brass and lift it up, and these snakes represented their sin. They were dying as a result or because of their sin, and so their sin is lifted up, and he says that as the serpent is lifted up. Now Jesus isn't a serpent, but as he was lifted up on the cross, what did he bear? Our sins. That serpent pictures that sin. So as Jesus was lifted up, our sins were being lifted up and bore by him. And it goes on that as this serpent in the wilderness, and what they have to do in order to be saved from that serpent bite, they had to look and acknowledge that brazen serpent being lifted up. In order for us to be saved, we have to look and acknowledge Jesus being lifted up for or because of our sin, right? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus declared, I give eternal life to those that believe. And what did these Jews say? How long are you going to keep us guessing? Tell us plainly if you be the Christ. If you would only believe, you could have eternal life. John 6:40, and this is the will of him that sent me, and every one who sees the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up in the last day. Every time Jesus talks about everlasting life or being saved, it's always belief. We have to put our trust in him that he has paid the penalty for sin. John 8:24, I said therefore unto you, ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins, without the forgiveness of sin. I've come to give eternal life, but you must what? Believe. That is the key right there. The third thing that Jesus came to declare, that I and my Father are one. No man can come unto the Father but by me. And so if you're following along in your Bible, you notice I'm just going through these verses. John 10:30 is the very next one. You must believe. And then he talks about this. I and my Father are one. And then what's interesting, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Jesus going on and continuing, have I been so long with you, yet hast thou not known me, Philip? And he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Believest thou not that I am the Father? I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Then the Jews, right? Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him, because he said, I and the Father, we're one. And for that, they thought he was blaspheming. And Jesus answered them and said, many works have I shown you from my Father. For which of these works do ye stone me? And the Jews answered and said, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blaspheming, for saying you are the Son of God, because that thou being a man makest thyself God. He didn't make himself God. He was already God before God made him man, right? Philippians, the second chapter, I love that chapter. Jesus thought it not robbery to be equal with God, right? And then humbled himself, right, and took on the form of man. He was always God. He never stopped being God. And then as God, he took on the form of man, still being God. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am the Father in one. Now, I understand the Trinity, and there is the Father, there's the Son, and there's the Holy Spirit. Each play a part. And Jesus says we're one, and that's the unity of the Trinity, and I know there's three persons of that, and that's what Jesus is trying to explain. And each one played a part in the plan of salvation. And then the third thing that I want us to talk about this morning is that what Jesus declares at the Feast of Dedication is that I am the Son of God. And it's interesting when this I am is used, it's the phrase out of the Old Testament when Moses says, who do I say that sent me? And it is the I am that I am, the self-existing one. And so we find that Jesus declares that he is the I am, that he is the Son of God. Say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified, sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I've said, I am the Son of God. And we know in other places they get upset when he says this I am phrase. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe me not, you still don't believe. Believe the works, that ye may know and that ye may believe that the Father is in me and I am in him. This is the whole purpose of God sending his Son. And we looked last week at the announcements of the angel Gabriel and says, therefore also this holy thing, speaking to Mary, which shall be born of thee, shall be called what? The Son of God. Because in the fullness of time, God turned to the Son, sitting at the right hand of the Father, and said, go. And then he was born in Bethlehem to be our Savior. In John 5, verse 17, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. God has a plan, and I am doing God's plan. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that he was that God was his Father, making himself equal. Right? They don't like that. I and the Father, we are one, making himself equal, and they wanted to kill him, and eventually they do. Right? But here's the thing. Anytime I say they killed Jesus, I feel like I need to preface it. Because in this same chapter, in verses just above, Jesus says, I take commandment of my Father, and I'm going to paraphrase this. I know I don't have it exact. That I lay down my life. No man take it from me. This is really, really important. We talk about, you know, people get upset that Jews killed Jesus. Well, it was a Roman crucifixion. But in reality, nobody killed Jesus, because you can't kill God. He says, I dismiss my spirit, right? And it is finished. I've done what I've come to do, and I dismiss. He gave himself a sacrifice, and yet they wanted to kill him. Tell us plainly. And when he does, what do they want to do? They want to kill him. And yet he was willing to do that for them and for us. In closing, John writes this at the beginning of his gospel, and obviously inspired. In him, in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. He is the source of light, that shamash, right? That servant, that light, that for me to have a light, it has to be from Jesus Christ. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Pianist and song leader, come forward. John 12:46. I am come a light into the world. that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. How are you doing in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you believe that he is the Son of God? Do you believe that he is your light, that you have eternal life? You have to believe. How are you doing at being obedient and faithful to the source of your light? We say, this little light of mine, I'll let it shine. How are we doing that? How are we doing with that? Won't hide it under a bushel. Won't let sin and everything else hide it. How are you doing telling others about Jesus Christ? What page do you have for us? Let's all stand.